Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Daily Devotion number 28. We're almost near the 30 mark. I wasn't sure if we'd get this far through, but if Jacinda keeps, well, we could be here a while. Either way, it's great to be together. It's great to open up God's Word. It's great to be able to just pause another time, another day, and recenter ourselves back on the Lord. So let's do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you that we can open up your word today. We pray that as we look at James once more, that you'd give us hearts to understand and to see what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, if you're a first timer here, a very warm welcome to you. We've been working our way through the book of James, and we're turning back into James chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at verse 12. So if you want to turn yourselves over to the book of James in your Bible or on your phone or follow on the screen, that's just fine. I'd encourage you to use your Bible, though, because then you can keep looking at it after I switch screens again in a few seconds. But James chapter 5, verse 12 reads like this. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. So far, the reading of God's word. May he bless it to our hearts and souls that would be encouraged and built up. Swearing. Well, it's one of those words, isn't it? Swearing, which makes us think of many different things. Maybe it's your parents telling you off for using a bad word. Maybe it's your parents talking about someone else saying a bad word, but the word swearing is a word that's used in lots of different ways, and most of the ways nowadays are not what James is talking about. James is not really talking about dirty language. He's not talking about using the naughty words. He's not talking about many different things. What he's talking about really is something that our forefathers found very normal, something part of their speech, which we do not. We don't really talk about making an oath. We don't really talk about swearing to someone. It actually comes up more often than what we realize. I think most of us probably aren't really aware of it. We're used to it, I guess, in some ways. Think the courtroom, maybe in a judicial system. When you're sworn into a position somewhere, they talk about swearing someone in. These are all different types of usages. But James is really thinking of one particular type, a quite a narrow type of swearing. And in order to work out what James is addressing and what he's not addressing, we have to ask the question, I guess, by starting with what isn't he talking about. Sometimes it's easiest to start with just eliminating some of the things he's not addressing. And it's important for us to do this, because throughout the history of the church, this passage and the one that it mirrors in the teaching of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, these teachings have been understood, I think, slightly wrongly and have been interpreted to mean that we can never, ever, under any circumstance, swear an oath of any form at all. So the interpretation means when you stand up in the court of law and you're asked to swear that you would tell the truth, that you cannot do that. When you're sworn in to become the President of the United States, if that's your goal in life, you would not be allowed to make an oath at that point. Or if you're becoming a minister or whatever, and you're being asked to make an oath to do something or not do something, you would not have the liberty to do that. And I think that that's pushing the interpretation of James a bit too far. James, he's not thinking about broadly every single type of promise, every single type of oathing, swearing. He's not thinking judicial law courts. Rather, he's thinking about a wrong type of swearing, because there's a right type of swearing, of oath making. And it's all through the Old Testament. All the way through the Old Testament, there are promises made. There are people who make oaths. There are people who swear to do certain things. And it's written into the law. And so there is a right type of swearing. And the Westminster Confession of Faith is quite helpful in its section on oaths. To summarize quite a reasonably long section, it says that it's a part of Christian worship to be done under weighty circumstances. So when there's something really serious, it's to be solemnly performed to God and to God alone. And it's to be done as a testimony to the truthfulness of what's going on the inside. So it's an exterior display of a right heart to God, saying, calling God as my witness. I call God as my witness that what I say is true and honest, that the veracity of my statement is 100% true, and let God be the judge. And so it's quite a serious, solemn thing. Okay, so it's not a ban on all oaths. It's not addressing judicial matters. It's not addressing courts of law or politics or anything else. So what is James addressing then? Well, James is addressing something which was quite contextually very historical, or historically, you know what I mean. The context is really important. You see, at the time of Jesus and James, still in the church apparently, there was an issue amongst the Jews. Now, the Jews knew that you could swear an oath before God, but they also knew it would be wrong for you to swear an oath before God and not be telling the truth, or not perform your vow, or I didn't cheat my neighbor. I swear to God I didn't. And they knew you could do that as a testimony to your truthfulness, but they also knew that it was a really heinous sin. It was what the Ten Commandments calls blaspheming the name of the Lord your God. To do that, to swear falsely like that, would be to blaspheme the name of God. And so what they came up with, as often happens in legalistic cultures or contexts, they decided that if you swore by a lesser thing than God, it had a lesser weight. And so the lesser the entity, the lesser the weight, the lesser the crime. And so they would swear against earthly things. Yeah, so I swear by my wife, or I swear by my house, or I swear by my dog, or I swear by my horse, or I swear by my camel. And therefore, if they were proven to be false, they wouldn't be blaspheming against God. Now, of course, some Jews would be doing that out of a legitimate desire to honor the Lord their God. And we're not addressing that, but we're thinking through the thought process that's going on. So the thought process is saying, I might end up being wrong, and therefore I'm going to swear by these other things. And then there's some who are saying, I know I'm wrong, so I don't want to swear against God, because that would be blaspheming and that would be wrong. So instead, I'm going to swear against some lesser thing over there, because then if I eventually do get busted, well, at least I'm not blaspheming against God. And so really, in a nutshell, I guess, he's addressing a bad, false, untruthful type of swearing. The exact same thing Jesus was addressing. You remember Jesus, when he addresses this on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, some of you swear by heaven, some of you swear by earth, some of you swear by the throne. He says, well, God sits on the throne, and the earth is his footstool, and the heavens are his tabernacle. So God's glory is everywhere. So whether you swear by one, or one, it doesn't really make much of a difference, because God is there in all of them. Rather change your hearts and let your yes be yes and your no be no, Jesus would say. And that's exactly what James says. It's amazing how similar this is, what James says, to what Jesus says, isn't it? Jesus also said, don't swear by heaven or earth. Jesus also said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Why? Is it because all swearing is wrong? No. Did you not swear an oath to your husband or wife when you got married? I mean, that's basically what a promise is. You stood before men, women, and before God and swore that you would love your husband or wife, that you would care for her, that you would love her, that you would submit to her, that you, him, you know, all that jazz. Or when you became a member of a church, maybe you swore before the church that you would do everything you could to work for the building up of the body of Christ, and you would seek to grow in holiness and things like this. So he's not getting rid of that. What's he addressing? He's addressing a type of swearing that would blaspheme the name of God. See, that is the issue. The issue is there's this group of people who are swearing oaths in such a way that God's name is being blasphemed. They're saying, oh, I won't swear by God, I'll swear by the tree, or I won't swear by this, I'll swear by that, and yet in my heart there is falsehood. And thereby I blaspheme the name of the Lord. Why? Well, for starters, if I get caught, you think about the Christian who gets busted doing something really wrong, like one of the pastors in the world who I heard of who managed to steal a few million dollars from a church. What type of witness does that carry for Jesus' name? Rather, God's name gets slandered in the world, doesn't it? Gets blasphemed in the world. But even if you don't get busted, God's name's getting blasphemed anyway, because your heart is blaspheming against God as you swear, and yet your heart is filled with lies. You know, it reminds me of being a boy, and kids, if you're a child and you're watching, don't do this. This is dumb. I had friends who were all claiming to have something, and I wanted to be cool too. And so I said, oh yeah, I have one of those as well. And they didn't believe me, so they said, no you don't. I said, yeah I do. And one of them said, well, I swear to God that you do. And I said, exact same thought pattern as this. I said, well, I thought, well, that would be wrong because I'm lying. And so I said, oh, well, I don't swear by stuff because that's wrong. But I definitely have one. That's exactly what this passage is talking about, isn't it? It's a heart that self-righteously says, I'm not going to swear by God, but yet a heart which is full of deceit. So rather, what would James have us be? Well, he'd rather our yes be yes and our no be no. What does he mean? James would rather that our hearts be filled with truthfulness. That everything we speak, you can count on it being true. That when we say yes, we mean yes. We don't say yes and mean no. That when we say we're going to do something, we do it. That when we give an answer, we don't answer like a snake, but we answer truthfully. We don't mince words. That we speak what we believe to be true. So James isn't banning oaths. What he longs for these Christians to have, and what he longs for you and I to have, is a heart attitude which is filled with honesty and integrity. And I wonder, is that ours? Do we have that? Do you have that? Do I have that? Do I esteem truth higher than how I look? Do you esteem honesty more than what people think of you? Are you willing to maintain the truth even if it costs you a promotion? Even if it costs you a job? Because dishonesty robs God of glory, blasphemes his name and discredits him. The children of light are to be children of truth. And when we don't do that, we run the risk of falling into judgment. That's what James says right at the end, doesn't he? Let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. None of us want to be told we have acted poorly by God. Lying is a road to a world of sin. Isn't it true? You tell one lie, and then you tell another lie to cover the first lie, and all of a sudden you're 73 lies in, you know, and you're trying to keep track of them all, and they're all starting to sort of heap on top of one another and intersect together, and you can't remember which person you told what, and what story you did tell or didn't tell, and you can't remember what's true and what's false. Rather, let our words ring out true and clear, so that we would stand like God, who never lies, the scripture tells us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would help us to be men and women, sons and daughters of truth, that we would speak your word clearly, that we would speak your truth honestly. Guard our hearts against false swearing and false oaths, that we might honor you not just with our mouths, but with our hearts and with our deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks very much for tuning in again today. I pray that your week has been a blessed one, and look forward to seeing you again tomorrow before the end of the week. Saturday, same time, tomorrow afternoon. May the Lord bless you as you go about the rest of your day. Catch you later.